Breakfast is on us. 102.9 Fresh FM.
The best of local tunes right here on Namibia's Heart and Soul. A very good morning to you. Time is exactly 7:35. Moro moro mwapenduka maisha maisha gepineer. Let me stop, okay? We're having a conversation today, a very serious conversation actually, but also a very empowering conversation. I was on my Facebook. I'm that old because we still have Facebook, guys. It's still very valid. I was scrolling through my Facebook, right? And then I see a gentleman talking about drug abuse and awareness and, you know, finding himself and saving himself and finding God. And so it was a lot. And I was like, this is a conversation that needs to be on air. This is a conversation that a lot of people will be able to relate to, you know. So if you are also finding yourself in the space of trying to pick yourself up and you just, man, get out of that space that you're in right now, this conversation, trust and believe, is going to inspire you to do just that. I have the pleasure, the blessing of being joined by Mr. Patrick Nashandi this morning. How are you doing today?
I'm blessed, man. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here. I was actually telling the listeners that you actually came all the way from the coast just for this conversation.
Yes.
Very, very happy to have you here. But you're good?
No, I'm good.
Yeah. Fantastic. So welcome to Fresh FM. Were you just telling me off air that you actually do listen to us and the show, right? So we need to have this conversation in terms of just drug awareness and education. You've taken this bull by the horn, you know, you're riding this. So tell us about what brought you to this space, first of all. Yes. Yeah,
before we start, I want to open this with just a short prayer.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we can do that, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for availing this platform, Father Lord Jesus. Let your will be done in this interview, Father Lord. Mm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, it's very important to give glory to God.
Absolutely. Yeah. So tell us, just walk us down how you got to this space, because obviously this is something very close to your heart. It's a struggle that you had yourself.
Yeah.
You have beaten it, but just drug awareness and education, how did that come about?
Yeah.
Mm. Where do you start?
Testimonies are a lot, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, let me start off with my testimony.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I was thinking, like, how do I reach out to the youth?
Mm.
You know, because the youth, they rarely come to events.
Yeah.
You know, so I was thinking, where do I find the youth?
Mm.
Just I was saying earlier, if Moses doesn't go to the mountain will go to Moses, you know? So I know that the youth, they're all in their phones.
Mm.
So let me go on their screens.
Mm.
You know, so my journey started when I was 10 years old.
Okay.
Grade 4 in Wolfish Bay,
mm-hmm.
at the primary school.
Mm.
So I was molested by my teacher for about 2 years.
Mm.
We were a group of three guys.
Mm.
You know, and I always used to blame myself that it's my fault that it happened, you know.
Mm.
And I've never told anybody about this, not even my parents at that time. So I started suppressing the emotions, you know, the feelings, with cigarettes, with tacha, you know. And later I started rebelling. I was just naughty. I was known to be naughty, you know. So as I grow older, I didn't want to. Ek wil nie die reëls van die huis gevolg het. You know, when you, as you honor iemand se huis, se dak bly, moet jy die ouers se reëls
volg. No, absolutely.
You know, so I didn't obey their rules.
Mm.
So I ended up moving out.
Mm.
You know, and I ended up hanging with older guys.
Yeah.
So when you hang with older guys and you're the young one, you become a tool.
Yeah. How old were you at the time?
I was about 14, 15.
Mm.
You know, and I got introduced to crime.
Mm.
You know, I'm talking about credit card fraud.
Mm.
You know, and wakhrat bedrog, you know.
Sure. Okay.
So I learned money at a young age,
like
serious money. I'm talking about 100K under my mattress, you know.
Mm.
Life was good, you know. I started to consume alcohol.
Mm.
And the more money, you started using bigger drugs, heavy drugs. Started using cocaine at the age of 16, 17.
Mm.
You know, it escalated to crack cocaine.
Sure.
And that was the hard one, you know. I've broken a lot of relationships, you know. Family relationship, friends. I broke a lot of girls' hearts, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, and in the way I grew up, you could not show she's a Mexican. I said, this woman said, like, you could not show weakness.
Mm.
You needed to be tough.
Yeah.
So whenever these thoughts of my molester always come up, I always hit it heavy on the drugs.
Mm.
You know, later.
Or to sort of like forget.
Exactly. Yeah, later it became a norm. You know, I was good at hiding it as well.
Mm.
Fast forward, I met this lady at a friend's wedding in Chumet.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
She's now my wife.
Mm, lovely.
Yeah. And she, whenever we had a conversation, she always left something in my head, you know, like, yo, what's next for me?
Mm-hmm.
And I started deciding, let me go back to school. So I went to do a course in double coated welding.
Mm-hmm.
I did from level 1 up to 3. And I knew this was the one, you know, so I married this lady.
Mm. How long ago was this?
This was about 2020.
Okay, so COVID year.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
We got married.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Just a little something small, you know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I put her through hell, man.
Yeah.
And I was still in denial.
Mm.
Still didn't know about my drug habit, you know.
Mm.
I was good at hiding stuff.
Mm-mm.
And it got so bad that drugs started clouding my judgment.
Mm.
One day, I can remember, I came home. I was high. I was so high that I wanted more money. So I came home. I took a knife, you know, not just any knife. They call it, you know, Shivambo, Onkonda.
Okay.
You know, it's sharp on both ends.
Oh, okay, okay.
You know, it can cut through anything.
Sure.
So I put this knife to my wife's neck. And I demanded money.
Mm.
And next to it was a mirror. I don't know. Something just made me look in the mirror. And I couldn't recognize this monster.
Mm.
It was literally the devil I was seeing. And that knife just dropped out of my hands. And that's how I ended up living on the streets. You understand?
Mm.
Because I was ashamed of what I was doing.
Yeah.
You know, just imagine if it started off innocent. Like I was just going to threaten her. Just to get money.
Just to get money.
Yeah, but what if her reaction was
different?
Different.
Yeah.
What would have happened?
Mm.
I could have killed my wife.
Yeah.
You understand? You see what effects drugs has on our youth and ourselves.
Mm.
It's dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
The devil, it comes to steal, destroy, and kill.
Kill, yeah.
You know? And I lived on the streets, man, for about 4 or 5 months. You know, I didn't bath for all those months. I used to wear one outfit for all those months.
Is this now you living on the streets because you were just ashamed to go back home or...
Ashamed and of drugs. And I decided, I lost hope in living. You understand? Like, this is where I belong.
Mm.
So why do I even have to try?
Mm-mm.
You know, nobody loves me.
Mm.
You know, that's what a drug is telling you.
It's telling you, yeah.
You understand?
But what helped you realize that it was time to change?
Because
I know that it's a journey. It's obviously a process for you to get there.
Yeah.
But just that change, that shift, how did that come about?
It came in from a lot of perspectives, from a lot of angles.
Yeah, yeah.
Firstly, it came from a friend of mine, Sydney Alupa. He's from Wolfish Bay.
Mm.
You know, this is one guy, he's always been there in my darkest moment. You know? I know I can go to him and I can get something to eat without being judged by him.
Mm.
You know, people that I thought were my friends were not my friends.
Mm.
Not even an encouraging word.
Yeah.
Like when you see them, letra feto pi petrol and I say, just come no. You know, but he always left me with a word.
Mm.
You know, and he's just not a friend. He's an activist. You know, he cares for this community. You know, he's always helping, you know, people in the community, you understand? And there's this group in Swakop, the Reinse Kerk. You know, they were having a program where they sent people in to rehab in Upington or somewhere in South Africa.
Okay.
So there was this guy that told me, hey, go there and put your name down there. Okay. So every day, wherever I wake up, I tell myself, I'm going to go there and put my name on there.
Yeah.
And every day I prayed, God, remove me out of this pit.
Mm.
You know, but every morning on my way there, I glove my skin fast and I two on it run of a glove fast me in a bra of eats, but me blessed. And I said, we're emergency, you know.
Mm.
I never seem to get there. Then one day, I found myself in a shop so high, I just got arrested for trying to steal a trolley full of meat. I'm talking about $10,000 worth of meat in that trolley. You know, I don't know what got into my head.
Yeah, yeah.
You understand? So, fast forward, I come to court. I'm like, Judge, I don't want to waste your time. I'm guilty. Sentence me. And the judge said, whoa, thank you for being honest, but we just don't do it like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me 2 days because I need to be in Wentis by come back. I have to ask you a few more questions before I sentence you.
Is this now the judge or the magistrate?
Yeah, the magistrate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I come there. She's like, why did you go and steal? I'm like, no, I went to steal to feed my bad habit. I'm a drug addict and I need help. So I leave my life in your hands, you know. She's like, yo, she can relate. Like she has a family member that also went through it. And
yeah.
She sentenced me with a fine, you know. Mind you, I've been in and out of prison, but never been sentenced.
Never been sentenced, you know? Yeah, okay.
There was a time in my life I picked up 7 cases of fraud.
And is this now when you had moved out at the young age?
Yes, at the young age, yeah, you know. Yeah. I've been in newspapers. You can even Google me now, you know. But this was my first time being sentenced.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm like, yo, what do I expect in prison, you know?
Yeah.
But anyhow, I'm not scared, man. So me, before going in, I decided to, they call it a trolley. It's when you compress contraband so you can smuggle it into prison. So I decided to compress and smuggle contraband into prison because they say that if you have contraband in prison, you are like a king. Okay, so when I got there, they put me in a single cell. And yo, 2 days is like a month. Two months in there.
Yeah.
And I've killed all the flies in that cell, you know. There's nothing to do anymore.
Yeah.
But there's no lighter for me to smoke. I still have the contraband.
Yeah, yeah.
So I hear footsteps. I check by the window. It's a guard and an inmate. So I ask this inmate, bring me a book, man, or a newspaper. But I'll prefer a book that's a thriller.
Yeah.
This guy looked at me. Said, okay. And mind you, this guy's not 100, né?
Yeah.
He comes back. He gives me a Bible and say, this is the thriller. Die geesef en meek moet veel. Die thriller boek hier.
And
I check this guy.
This is not what I need. You know? Yeah.
So I put the book there. So mind you, I've walked the path with the Lord. You know, back in 2023, I got baptized.
Yeah.
At the restoration center that I went to.
Okay, okay.
You know, it's very important to go to rehab as well.
Yeah.
You know, just to get some tools and all that.
Because then obviously you have to come back to your real life. And you also have to.
Exactly.
Apply that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, why I realized back then is because I didn't have proper discipleship. I didn't know what's next when you give your life to Christ. You know, I went with my own understanding. That was the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Fine, fast forward. I started reading this book, you know. Something was happening, man.
Come on.
You know, something was started happening a few days. And I clearly heard God's voice, man, telling me, "Say, meneer, dit is jou laaste ronde. As jy nie die ronde vat met twee hande nie, ek maak my ore toe en ek draai om." And I'm like, "Yo." And now I was isolated, remember?
Yeah.
I'm getting sober now. You know, things are getting out of my system. I'm starting to think clearly now.
Yeah.
I started asking the right questions to myself.
Yeah.
Fine, I got put into the sections now.
The sections is what now when you
with the other inmates,
yes.
You know, so there was a lot of temptations, you know,
from the
gangs and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I decided that's not what I want. So this young boy, I kept looking at every night in our cell. He's reading the Bible, you know, and I decided I want what that boy wants. So let me come close to him.
Yeah, yeah.
And in prison, you just don't decide to get close to anyone.
To anyone. Yeah, you know? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So me and this boy started the Bible study. So we started off 2. We became 5. We became 10. Later, we dropped to 6. And we remained 6, you know. And there was this one church, Shofar. They are called Shofar.
Yeah.
You know, they did prison ministry. They do prison ministry every Saturday.
Okay.
So I walk a journey with them. And I started to grow spiritually as well. Mind you, I have a fine.
Yeah.
I can get out anytime.
Mm.
You understand? I didn't call once anybody to come and help
to
me
come
pay that fine.
Find you out, yeah.
Because I didn't want to get out. Because I felt that I didn't need to be there. You understand? I don't know why at that moment, but I needed to be there.
Yeah.
So I started praying, you know, and the first prayer that I asked God for is to soften my mother's heart so she can come and visit me, you know, so that I can tell her that I forgive her. You're probably wondering why I'm saying that.
Yeah.
For the longest time of my life, I hated my mother. I blamed her because for not showing me motherly love, for not hearing once, my son, I love you, you know. That's one thing in our community we need to start changing.
With. Yeah, absolutely.
We need to start telling our kids that we love you for no reason. You know, and I understood for the first time that she probably didn't know love as well.
As well, yeah.
She probably haven't heard those words
herself to relay to
you. You understand?
Yeah.
But I knew she loved me in her own way. And guess what? The next day I heard my name. I've been called for visitation. It's my mom.
No way.
Yo, I'm like, yo, God.
Actually, yes, we're God.
Yeah. You know? Shoo. Yo, danke, Yere.
Yeah.
You know?
Patrick, just pause, just pump the brakes for us a little bit, right? We're just going to play some ads and then obviously we continue with the conversation. Awesome. There's so many people on the WhatsApp line that's texting in now. Someone is asking, who's this guy talking about his testimony? And she's crying and she's saying, I'm getting out of the car. LNA will put this on the website as well. It is Patrick Nashandi, in case you missed it. Someone is saying that God really used him to speak to me today. That's what someone is saying on the WhatsApp line. We'll continue with the conversation as well. I did tell you, I gave you the disclaimer that this is a conversation that is going to pour into you in so many ways. If you ever doubted that God will ever restore, we have more on the other side. I get up every morning. Alrighty, so officially welcoming you to the third hour. A very, very, very good morning to you. And today, as promised, we're having really very important conversations, my dear. Alright, these are the type of conversations, because Iniske and I say this all the time, right? These are the conversations that even need to be taken to the car washes. Wherever it is that you hang out with your boys, with your girls, like, these conversations need to be a part of the get together or the chill or the groove or whatever it is, right? We're having a conversation with Patrick Nashandi. It's been very insightful, very moving, very empowering as well. Obviously, we heard a lot of people just, you know, reacting to it on our WhatsApp status as well. Someone says that your testimony is very motivating. That is Bota. He should become a motivational speaker. Okay. And you do speak really, really well, actually.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're more than welcome to also just share those voice notes, those messages on our WhatsApp line. I'll make sure to pass it on to Patrick as he is in studio, right? So before we took the break, Ney, you were talking about how you had you could easily have called someone to bail you out, but you chose not to, and then you also just needed that love and I would say validation from your mom, and you prayed for it until she actually came to visit you herself.
Yes.
How was that interaction with your mom?
It was very emotional.
Yeah
And for the first time I heard a voice, I heard the words from her, I love you my son.
Sure.
And I forgive you as well.
Mm.
And she asked me, okay, let me pay the fine. I'm like, no.
No.
I don't want you to pay the fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why? You want to leave here? I'm saying, no. I believe God still wants me here.
Mm.
Okay. It's like, okay, that's good.
Yeah. How long were you in there for, though, that time around?
My fine was 3K or a year. You understand? Yeah. So I'm there for... I'm going now, 2 months there now. Yeah, before she came.
Before she came. Shoot.
And mind you, my marriage was over. My wife didn't want to do anything with me. She was done. And that's a tough cookie when she decides something. She decides. You know. And I've put her through a lot, guys. I'm talking about a lot. You know, the people that suffers most are family.
Yes.
You know, behind closed doors, the people are crying. The people are praying.
Yeah.
You know, people are scared in their own home because of this person that is
and the addiction that they have. Yeah.
You know, and people are just saying, "Ukomka ni mani oboni." You know, it's this one mark like ni. You understand?
And I think also because, I mean, obviously drugs is not something that we can play about, right? Because
exactly.
I think, like for me, it's easy to say that I don't have an addictive personality, and I say that all the time. But when it comes to things like drugs, you can't gamble with it, right? Because you don't know what's on the other side, right? But what was the hardest part of the addiction for you?
I was not in control. Mm. I didn't have self-control.
Mm.
I could never say no.
Mm.
You know, and it all started in the mind.
Yeah.
You know. Is toe daar wat ik één dag is toegekomen met. Ik ken niet hoe het ik gerookt dat ik dacht. Of, it was 2 days, I didn't sleep. I come home, I'm so high. And the look that I got from my wife and my baby there, playing there, I'm like, yo, what am I doing? Look at these people. What am I causing?
Yeah, that are relying on you.
You know,
yeah.
I'm supposed to be the man of the house. You know what I did? I went into the room, I got all the pills I could find.
Yeah.
I went into the bathroom and I drank all those pills. The next thing, I wake up in the hospital.
Oh, so it was a suicide attempt?
Yes, I was done. I was like, I felt that, kom ek gaan, van ek is die probleem. You know? Dan is, these people are better off without me in their lives.
Yeah.
You know? My sister, she's been there, but because of my actions, she was even scared to help me or just to show me.
Yeah.
She's there. You know, it's not our fault. I kept blaming everyone, but I was
instead
the blame.
Instead of taking accountability.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the doctor tells me that you are lucky to be alive. We pumped out 3 bags out of your tummy. You know? Drugs, guys, it's killing our youth. It's killing our fathers, our mothers, our sisters. We need to take this seriously.
Seriously. If you... Are there times that you ever think to yourself where you possibly could have been had it not been for the drugs? Had you not left home at 14 years old? Are there times that you ever think about that?
A lot of times in the past I did.
Mm.
A lot. You know, I always wanted to be a lawyer, you know, because ik was altijd een mens van mensen. You know, people always loved me. You know, and I that's one thing, I always wanted to be a lawyer. But I think, I believe now that this was a season in my life that I needed to go through. God was preparing me for this journey I am on now. You know, the same, soos in die straat sê, die plak, die oomf, wat hy gehad het om die verkeerde dinge te doen. Ek praat van die verkeerde dinge. Ek channel die plak nou om die rechte ding te doen.
Yeah.
And
it's powerful.
And I decided to pledge my life to fight against drugs. You know, that's why I started an NGO. It's called the Nash Serenity Foundation.
Yeah.
You know, we started off with a soup kitchen at our house. You know, just 2 streets from our house. It's a street called Obi Street. And every second house sells drugs there. You know, and there are kids living in those streets, you know, in that neighborhood. So most of the people that come into our soup kitchens are active drug users, are family members going through suffering with loved ones that are using drugs, you know. So if you go on my page, you'll see every time we share a meal, before we share a meal, I share a word with them.
Yeah.
And I share a testimony with them.
Come on.
Because at National Serenity, you just don't live with a full tummy.
Yeah.
You live with a word.
Mm.
I plant a seed. You know, I trust God to take over from there.
Yeah. The same way he took over and changed your life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Glory goes to him.
Yeah. So with the soup kitchen, though, is there any way that we can help? Because obviously it's NGO, like you said, you're probably doing this out of your own pocket, right?
Yeah.
Now, to anyone who's listening, who's willing to also just, you know, pour back into the soup kitchen in any way, how do they just get in touch with you?
You can go on our page on Facebook, Nash Serenity Foundation. Yeah, you get all the details there.
Yeah, I'll share a link with everyone who's listening as well.
Awesome.
Just like we said, man, you let's just care for one another. Let's just care for our neighbors, whether you know them directly or not. I'm very curious to know, Patrick, what is the one thing that you've learned about yourself that you can celebrate yourself for right now, ever since you got clean?
Yeah, before we get there,
yeah,
I haven't finished with the testimony yet.
Oh yes, okay, yeah.
So
I'll
after
pop
my
that
mom,
one for us.
Yeah, after my mom, I prayed for the second prayer. God softened my wife's heart so she can just come and see me.
Yeah,
I won't lie to you. The next day, I heard my name again. God called me. It's my wife. Yo,
sure.
I just kept quiet. You know, I was just listening to this woman. She started talking, And she's still firm that, no, we are done.
Mm.
But I just came to see you and tell you that I still care about you, and don't give up hope, and use this time to think. She and talked a lot of things, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just quiet because I was just happy my prayer was answered.
Yeah, that she came.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And not that she came. Mm. It's like, I was just praying. I was just happy that God is showing me that he's alive.
Mm.
We serve a living God. You know, I didn't care if my marriage was over at that time. And I was just so happy and excited what God was busy doing.
Mm.
You know? Fine, she went.
Yeah.
That was the Saturday.
Mm.
That evening, I prayed so hard again, you know. Sunday, she came. And she came after church because I told her about the church that came and do prison ministry every Saturday.
On Saturdays, yes.
And she told me, listen, I went to listen to a sermon on that church you told me about. And mm-hmm. they were preaching about the prodigal son.
Mm.
And she tried to put, she applied that scripture in her life.
Mm.
And was I the prodigal son or what? Then she related to the father. You understand?
Mm.
And she tried to put herself in the prodigal son's shoes. If it was her, what would she want her father to do?
Do. Yeah.
Forgive her. Mm. And she felt that God told her to forgive me and we should try again.
Mm.
And my wife told me there, I love you and I forgive you. Let's try again. I was like, God, what are you doing?
Yeah,
what are
you
busy with?
Mm.
And then right there, I decided that, okay, now I see my purpose.
Yeah.
You know?
And that he's there and he's never turned his back on you.
And I prayed and she wanted to pay the fine as well.
Yeah.
And I told her, no, chill. Wait, God will reveal the right day for me to go.
Mm.
And she was also shocked and like, no, it's real. Just hold up. And after a month again, one day my name was called. I had to go.
Mm.
And every Saturday since then, I've been going to prison as well.
Mm.
You know, I've been doing prison ministry with the church as well.
Mm.
You know, and this time around, the guys can relate. You know, it's very difficult to take someone serious that has never felt hunger.
Yeah.
That has never felt being high. That hasn't gone through the
journey. Yeah,
exactly,
yeah, yeah.
That you can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these guys, they listen
because
they know who's this person.
Yeah.
They've seen this person when he was down and they see him now.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm.
So hope is there.
Mm.
Change is possible.
Come on.
Just recently, we baptized a guy that got released from prison. You know, it's one of the guys that always attended every Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
How amazing is that?
Sure.
You know?
It's really, really powerful. And I can tell you right now that there's so many people on the WhatsApp line as well. Someone also just texted saying that I can relate to this story. And I must say that I couldn't get out of it without Christ as well. I'm happy for the gentleman in studio. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, there's one thing in our community
that
we think it's okay to. We think it's okay to call drug dealers our friends. We think it's okay to socialize with drug dealers. You know, we at the car wash, we're calling a drug dealer. Hey, Milani, what's that, me buzz? It's the same as you selling drugs to the school kids, man. These guys are destroying our kids.
Mm.
You understand? I myself used to sell drugs.
Mm.
I'm not here to judge the drug dealers. No.
Yeah.
But I'm saying we cannot say it's okay what they are doing. We cannot condone
just
them.
Just sit by. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like we're empowering them. You understand? You know, that's why I pledge. I'm bringing the word to them. Not physically.
Yeah.
But with the truth. With unity. With the community. And with God behind me. You understand? Stampede. Sure. You know, a stampede is it's coming.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when I say stampede, I'm talking about revival is coming to our community, to our town.
Mm.
Just recently, a girl committed suicide in Office Bay because of drugs. She relapsed and she felt so disappointed in herself. That was not her. That was the drugs lying to her. That was the effect on drugs. She's as young as 21 years old, man.
Mm-mm.
And that really also just oomphed me to go on with this.
With a fight, yeah.
And that's why this Friday, tomorrow, I'm having a drug awareness campaign in front of my soup kitchen. I got the support from the municipality to close down the street.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because we don't have enough drug awareness in our country.
Mm.
You know, so without funds, without support, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
You understand? If I could go out in Zula to buy a clip, to buy dacha, or if I can come up with how to con someone to feed my bad habit, Imagine now that I'm on the right side.
And what you can do.
You know where I'm at, you know?
Sure, yeah, no, absolutely.
So I place that every month I'm going to have drug awareness campaign.
Yeah.
Come high water or low water. We need to bring the information. We need to educate the youth.
Yeah.
The fathers, the mothers and the sisters, and also the families. That's why I also do consultation as well.
Yeah, yeah. You know? The consultation is now for anyone who's struggling or probably even like the family members, right?
All family members.
Yeah.
The addict himself, you know. I'm also in partnership with a lady that has a restoration center that just opened recently.
Where is the restoration center?
It's 60 kilometers out of Rehoboth.
Mm.
You guys can just contact me and we can have a session and I can refer you.
Mm.
And also I'm in partnership with a few professionals I can refer you to. You know, it's good.
What's the name of that center?
I don't know it at the top of my head.
But she's a psychologist, right?
Exactly.
She's been on the show.
Yes, Lindsay Ackerman.
Yes, she has been. Yes, she has been. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, she's an amazing woman.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And you know what? What I can also commend you on right now is the fact that you are recognizing the fact that there are people that helped you, and now you're helping the next person, because it doesn't just end with you.
No.
Right? How has your life changed? How has your family life changed and your relationships and friendship dynamics changed since you got clean?
Yeah. Okay, friends, it's one of the boundaries I have put in place.
Mm.
I don't have friends anymore. Not that I don't have, but I know how to set my boundaries with friends now.
Mm.
You understand? It's one of the tools I learned in rehab.
Yeah, you can't heal in the same place that bruised you.
Exactly. I know how to use those tools now
because
I have understanding.
Mm.
And that understanding is not my own understanding. Mm. It's God's understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to live a godly life now because I'm being discipled.
Sure.
And family-wise, we have love now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we started telling each other we love each other now.
Yeah,
even my mom, every time we finish talking, we start using the word, I love you.
I love you, yeah.
Me and my sister, we're in a good space.
Mm.
You know, me and my wife, we're in a good space.
Mm.
And there's still a relationship that I need to make, right?
To mend, yeah.
Especially with my kids as well.
Mm.
You know, and also I just thank God for having baby mamas that are really so understanding and supportive.
Yeah,
you know, not
yeah.
once have they been, yeah, 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 yeah. You know, they've always been supportive because they know... They probably knew this guy is a good guy.
Mm.
You know.
Sure. Yeah. No, we commend you, man. Now, the WhatsApp line. Someone is asking, is your focus in Swakop or Walvisbaai?
You see, whenever I do something, since I gave my life to Christ now, I just don't stand up and decide I'm doing this. You know, I need to pray about it first.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I get led, spirit-led, you know, because I want it not just to be words.
Mm.
I want it to be fruitful.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You understand? Because if you don't involve God in every step you take in life or in every decision you decide to do, it won't have meaning. It won't have impact because it doesn't have the back of God, the backing of God. You understand?
Mm.
So if my journey is outside Swakop or wherever, by all means, God lead, I follow.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Oh. So school visits, something that we're still working on, right?
Definitely. Something I'm busy with tackling.
Mm.
You know, because the youth is our future leaders.
Absolutely.
We need to start there.
Mm. So someone from Germany, she listens to us every day from Germany. She says, get your flowers, my brother, while you can still smell them. God is love, and may the love in your heart always lead. Patrick, I wish we had more time. It's been such a good, insightful conversation. And thank you so much for being brave enough to just let God lead the way, first of all, and also just being transparent, because that's what a lot of people actually need, you know, just for someone to be transparent and relatable with your story. And we commend you for overcoming your battles as well.
No, thank you for this platform, Shikwan.
Mm.
And I must just say that this was spirit led to be here, because like I told you,
yeah,
I did inbox Fresh
my
FM.
My colleagues, yes.
Inbox Paula.
Yeah.
But no response. And here you came in my inbox.
Yeah. I was like, please WhatsApp me right now.
It's not a coincidence.
Yeah.
And I just want to send a message out there to anyone struggling with addiction. Doesn't matter if it's drug or alcohol.
Yeah, someone is asking now, does he also help people with gambling addiction? May God bless him. Let's help one another.
Addiction is addiction. Doesn't matter what it is. Yes.
Okay, how can we reach Patrick Nashandi before we let him go?
Yeah, you can contact me on 081.
As a belief, guys, he has a beautiful wife here at home. Only for work related, I'm joking.
Please.
081. Yeah.
081 49 09 124. Or you can email me on Patrick Nash 1225@gmail.com.
All right. So that's 081-4909-124.
Yeah.
And I'll also just share that email address with you on our WhatsApp status as well and his contact details. You're more than welcome to also just contact me. I'll send the link to the soup kitchen, his profile, and all this additional information. And let's just see how we can hold hands together and really just be the change that we so desire in our own communities, right? Patrick, we wish you nothing but the best. May you be blessed. May you be covered from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. We wish you nothing but the best on this journey in your life. And trust me, you have touched so many of our listeners. Like, they can't stop texting. It's so beautiful.
I just want to give glory to God for using me as a vessel. And just before I go, I just want to tell anybody that's going through, struggling with something right now, don't give up. You know, there is hope. Just decide to want to help yourself.
Absolutely.
You know, first of all, nothing will change if you don't decide to help yourself
first. To help yourself, yeah.
It starts there, you know. Yeah. And stay blessed. God loves you.
Yeah.
We love you.
Come on.
Yeah.
And Fresh
FM
burden.
Loves you as
yes,
well.
Yes, we do. And you're not a burden as well.
Exactly.
And your story does matter, as you heard from Patrick right now. His story matters. So please stick around, ask, and get the help that you need, and we can make it on the other side together.
Breakfast is on us. 102.9 Fresh FM.